This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to see you all. I would direct your attention to some of the announcements about how our worship together continues in service and learning during the week. On the back of your bulletin, at the very top, you'll see an announcement that says, "Workshops coming your way." The Reverend Rob Hagen will be joining us the weekend of September 21st. He is from the Presbyterian Foundation. And after a conversation with him this week, we discovered that the Saturday morning seminar is really for session and leadership of the congregation. So most of you are off the hook for that one. But the one after worship on Sunday is on legacy giving and would be pertinent for anyone and everyone. That seminar or workshop also includes lunch, and all of it is free. So we hope to see you at the legacy giving workshop on the 22nd. There are a couple other announcements this morning. I believe Michelle has one and Cam has one.
Good morning. So this is it. This is this Wednesday logo starts. We start with the elementary kids at 3:30 and they wrap up at 6:15. Mid and senior highs start at 5:30 or 5:20 if they can get there a little earlier, and wrap up at 7:30, not 7 as it said in the communicator. So parents, 7:30. Otherwise, if you come early, you can join us for Bible study. But 7:30, they'll be wrapping up. The other thing I wanted to mention about logos is this is the last week that we will have the envelopes on our logos bulletin board out here in the overflow room. That is our fundraiser for scholarships. We ask if you want to contribute to the scholarships for logos, you select an envelope and put the number, the dollar amount donation in the envelope that matches the number on the envelope. We collect the scholarships for the families who are unable to pay the fees that we do have to charge to keep logos operational. So we do generally have a few families every year who need a little bit of help with that. So every year our scholarship fund pays for about 4 full scholarships. So we appreciate your generosity in giving to that. You can donate through the church office at any time, but this will be the last week the envelopes are actually out there if you want to grab one. Thank you.
I should introduce you all, really. Or you should introduce yourselves.
Okay.
I said that Cam had an announcement to make on behalf of C4, and that's my mistake because we're really transitioning to a new team of leadership. So, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello, I'm Taylor. I am going to be the new C4 president. This is Tessa. She is my vice president. And Lena, who is the treasurer. Treasurer. We are all juniors here at the university, and we are really excited to become more a part of the church and get to know you, and you get to know us, and we look forward to having meals cooked by all of you, hopefully, and I know you're all very good cooks from the previous years, so if you have any questions, we'll have a sign-up table after, and we just look forward to this next year.
Thank you so much. Where's the table going to be?
It'll be a walking table.
Okay. So I guess you have to find them. All right. Thank you very much. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. O Lord, you search us and know us.
We praise
you,
O God, our Maker.
You are the potter, we are the clay.
We are the work of your hands.
Let us worship God. Please listen along as I read the call to confession. Our sins are not to be hidden from God. Rather, we bring them into the light and lay them on the table, trusting in the one who shaped us for goodness and will transform our brokenness into wholeness. Please join me as we pray, saying, Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from sin. We follow the advice of the wicked and scoff at those who do good. We make plans we cannot complete, and promises we will not fulfill. Forgive us, God of grace. Refresh and renew our hearts, so that we may seek your way and do all the good we can. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. As a potter holds a piece of clay, God holds and shapes our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please listen as I read the prayer for illumination. Eternal wisdom, from generation to generation, you teach your people the way to live. Through words that are ancient, you speak your living word. Speak to us now with all that we need to honor you and walk in your way with honesty and humbleness of heart. Amen.
Would the children please come forward? Good morning. How's everybody? Good? Good deal. Okay. Thanks for coming up. I'm glad you're all here. So as soon as we're done here, after the choir sings, Reverend Michelle is going to read some scripture, and it is from the book of Philemon, which is actually a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. So he wrote this letter to the church to encourage them and to let them know he was praying for them. But what I thought was really neat was the fact that he did this while he was in prison. And, you know, he probably had some other things on his mind and was probably stressed out about his own well-being at that point, or could have been. I mean, I don't know. I've never been in prison. I would think it'd be kind of a scary place. What do you think?
Yeah,
pretty much? Okay. But I thought it was really neat that even while in prison, he was praying for others. So I thought we'd talk about prayer today. So I found this, and it says there are the five W's of prayer. And these are who, what, when, where, and why. So who should pray?
Us.
Everyone, right? Everyone should pray. What should we pray about?
God and Jesus.
Right? Anything, really. We can pray about anything that's weighing on our hearts. When should we pray? When's a good time to pray?
Anytime, really. Anytime.
Anytime. And where should we pray? Good. Anywhere. And why should we pray?
Because I don't know.
Trenton, what do you
think? If we pray, it's like sending a letter to God.
Right. We should pray because the Lord hears us and answers our prayers. They might not always be answered exactly the way we want them, but they'll be answered in the right way. So we should always pray. We should always remember that if we're having problems, we can always pray. If our friends are struggling, we can pray for them. We should always remember to pray because the Lord always hears us. All right, so on that note, let's say a prayer. Okay. Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for the love and grace that you show us day in and day out. And thank you for reminding us to pray. Help us to remember that help us to remember that you want to heal the sick. Help us when we're in trouble. Forgive us when we sin, and rejoice with us when we are happy. Thank you for always being there for us, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Psalm 139, portions of it that they sang, a beautiful piece of poetry. There are two verses at the top of your order of service. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. I'm not sure where it came from or where I heard it first, but maybe you've heard it. I'm special, because God don't make no junk. Have you heard that before? Seen it on a bumper sticker? The psalmist is much more poetic, but the same idea of the value that God imparts to each individual is there. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So look to your left. There might not be someone over there. Now, the same is true when you look to your right, depending on where you're sitting, and in front of you, and behind you. When each one of us is able to declare, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, it speaks to the value and the wonderfulness of each of us. But not only am I fearfully and wonderfully made, the person on your left and on your right and in front of you and behind you are all equally able to say the same. Both of those truths are so valuable in orienting us on our journey of life together. And they inform us as we look at our epistle reading for this morning. It is the complete letter of Paul to Philemon. Philemon is also appropriate to say. I was asked after the last service. In this letter, Paul wants to bring about reconciliation between two men, Philemon and Onesimus. Before I read, it's important to know that Paul plays with the words useful and useless, which we miss entirely in our English translation. The name Onesimus means useful, profitable, beneficial. It was common for slave owners to give this name to slaves, either in tribute to their usefulness or in hopes that they would be. I suppose the same way someone calls a guard dog Fang. This passage raises as many questions as it answers, particularly regarding slavery. So we'll try to avoid getting bogged down in those this morning. But there are two things that are very clear. First, it's clear that there's been a break, a separation in the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. And Paul wants to see it reconciled. The second is that they are connected to Paul and one another through the church that meets in Philemon's house. They are all in fellowship or partnership with one another. So how does Paul go about mending this broken relationship? Let us listen for God's word to us this day from the letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The ball is in Philemon's court. Right? Will he continue to see Onesimus as useless? Or will he respond with grace and recognize him as a brother in Christ, a partner, or in the words of the psalmist, another who is equally, fearfully, and wonderfully made? We don't know what happened. We don't know if Onesimus was a runaway slave that belonged to Philemon, or if it was simply that Philemon was a slave and of a different social caste, so that's why Philemon thought Onesimus was useless. Or was there something that happened between them? Some offense that broke the relationship? We don't know what it was, but Philemon sees Onesimus as useless rather than useful. What we do know is that the relationship was broken, and Paul wishes that Philemon would welcome Onesimus in the same way that he would welcome Paul. He wants him to see Onesimus as useful again. What would you do? It's a very typical response when we're hurt or angry or frustrated, simply to cut off from someone else. Just end it. avoid it. See that other person as useless. There's an epidemic of ungraciousness and unwelcome in our culture. If someone doesn't look like you or think like you or agree with you, it's perfectly acceptable to discount them, ignore them, consider them useless. And to be clear, I'm not pointing my finger at any particular group. There is equal opportunity exclusion all over the place. And while that may be common on TV, or social media, or school, or the office, Paul calls those who belong to Jesus Christ to a different way. Paul calls us to partnership, seeing one another as family members, rather than simply individuals of a particular group. The driving force behind Paul's letter is a desire for reconciling love that creates a new community of sibling-like relationships. In the Lord or in Christ is a favorite expression of Paul's throughout his letters. There's no longer a special status, up or down, older or younger, slave or free, male or female. All are beloved brothers and sisters in the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls those who belong to Jesus Christ to this different way. He calls them to partnership. Koinonia is the word he uses, and perhaps you've heard before. But it's a Greek business term in which each person brings something different to the partnership, something that the other doesn't have or cannot do. And in that partnership, the partners are stronger together than individually. And throughout his letters, you hear Paul appealing to partnership, to fellowship, koinonia. According to Paul, it's unacceptable to consider a brother or sister in Christ useless, not worthy of relationship or partnership. It's unacceptable for brothers and sisters in Christ to whisper behind one another's backs, conjecturing or dismissing other brothers and sisters because so-and-so is just so bullheaded. It's that kind of thinking that undermines the entire fellowship, that becomes useless for everyone. In his letter, Paul says that the remedy to cutting off from one another is welcoming one another. In welcoming one another, we listen and learn. We reconcile and forgive. We grow. It's in welcoming one another that our partnership, our fellowship, is whole and healthy. We can't engage with one another the same way that the media and the marketplace encourages us to do. We can't undermine the intelligence or the faithfulness or the humanity of those with whom we disagree, especially in the family of faith. We can't call useless what God has made useful. We can't lose sight of how fearfully and wonderfully made each one is. So I wonder, if you've had that experience in your life, where a separation has occurred between you and another brother or sister in Christ. If you've been tempted to see another as useless. Now, that might not seem significant between the two of you, but within our larger fellowship, they prevent us from being true partners, where our differences come together to make us stronger together than we are apart. Those separations prevent our fellowship from being effective in doing all the good that we may do for Christ, says Paul. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so is each person sitting around you. And so is that person who gets on your very last nerve. That person you would rather cut off and avoid. But Michelle, you don't understand. What they said was so unkind. It was so hurtful. And you're right. I don't understand your particular experience. But I have been in the church all of my life. And I do understand the pain of betrayal. I mean, this is church. How could someone say something like that? And I do understand the temptation to just cut off and ignore it and ignore them and move on. But I also know the peace. The peace that comes when we trust God's grace to fill that void that's been created, regardless of how the other person responds. Reconciliation is not easy. It takes time. It may take a trusted mediator like Paul. But most of all, it takes grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is always available. Grace that can change what we might see as useless and transform it into something useful. To the glory of God, who fearfully and wonderfully creates, graciously redeems, and lovingly sustains. Amen. Together, let us affirm our faith using the words from part of the Confession of Belhar, the most recent confession added to our Book of Confessions. Together, we believe that the unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, in that we love one another, that we experience, practice, and pursue community with one another, that we are obligated to give ourselves willingly and joyfully to be of benefit and blessing to one another. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to prayer, there is one prayer concern to share with you. Patty Butler stopped me this morning and let me know that she was celebrating because her daughter, Amy, her cancer is in remission. So thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Creator, we thank you that you give us to each other. For we discover new dimensions of your grace in the friction and comfort of life together. In your body, we learn what it means to be whole. In your mercy, help us to set our fear aside. Loosen our grip on what we know, if it is keeping us from what you would teach us. We pray for this community and for your church all over the world. You shaped us for service. Show us the good we may do, for when you use us, we come alive. We pray for those we have labeled useless, for those whose convictions are strange to us, for those who cannot find a place in the economies we trust. Lord, we do not know how to pray for peace in broken lands, for justice when the weak have no advocate, for life in the midst of despair and destruction. Yet you are the God of Easter, the God of impossible life. Move in stubborn hearts and settled minds. Give us courage beyond our imagining, that we might follow where you would lead. We pray in the name of Jesus, whose words still burn in our hearts, whose breath still unsettles your people, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With gratitude to God, let us give of our tithes, our offerings, and our lives. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, you bless us with so much to share. Use the gift of our money and the gifts of our lives to bring your healing and hope, your justice and peace to our neighbors near and far. Amen. Go out into the world as God's beloved children, trusting God's grace to transform the useless into the useful. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.